after nine. I mentioned the possibility of capping Airbnb numbers. Could we do it? Should we do it? You'll know if you want to get out of town, you can afford it. You might do something like an Airbnb. Maybe you go Apollo Bay, go and see the glorious trees in Warburton. Maybe you go to Daylesford or the Mornington Peninsula. In those places, most of the new housing, according to our research, it gets eaten up by short-term rentals, three quarters of it. It's a group called the Grounded Community Land Trust Advocacy. Carl Fitzgerald's managing director of that. Morning, Carl.
Good morning, Raf.
When you say that the new stuff in the nice places gets soaked up by Airbnb, what sort of numbers are you talking about?
Well, we're talking about the equivalent of new supply. There's 74% average of new supply that's gone into short-term rental has come from both existing supply and new supply.
So three quarters there, 74%. Tell me how you come up with that number.
We came up to that number by looking at the census rental figures and averaging that up to 2024 and then comparing that to the AirDNA active listings that were on site, which is at least 25% more conservative than the total listings on AirDNA.
AirDNA is sort of the inside look at the Airbnb system. So how confident are you with that 75% figure?
Very confident. And we know why. The earnings are just out of this world. They're 81% greater than what you can earn in the long-term rental market. So with those sort of numbers, investors are flocking to Airbnb, as we've seen during the pandemic and recent years.
But if people want to make money out of their property, why shouldn't they?
Well, they should, but within balance. And when we're seeing key workers struggling to afford homes, doctors down in Apollo Bay can't find anywhere. Towns are really on the edge, and it's time we started to look at capping the number of Airbnbs because it's just growing too quickly.
Does anybody cap? Does any city in the world sort of say there's an absolute limit on the number of properties for short-term rental?
This is a world first policy. Right. It is out of the bag.
Maybe it's world first because no one thinks it's workable. I don't know.
Well, everyone's fallen into the 60 or 90 day cap argument. And when I speak to Airbnb owners, they actually like this cap and trade idea because it doesn't cut a huge swath through the industry. It actually allows them to rebalance and trade out if need be.
Do you think it'll happen?
Well, by the interest from journalists and one of Australia's leading professors on Airbnbs, Peter Phibbs, it's certainly worth trying. At the moment, government's just letting the market rip. And
they're introducing a small tax, aren't they? The state government's introducing one form of tax on them, a levy.
Well, they're trying to, and the 7.5% levy will be passed on to customers. It won't actually reduce the number of Airbnbs out there. So I think that's why the Greens and others are saying they won't support it.
Do you think limiting the number of Airbnbs, limiting the number of short-term rentals, could that be a big contributor to the fact we've got a shortage of homes? Could that actually make a big difference, or is it sort of on the edges?
Well, the numbers are adding up. When you look at it, in Victoria, as a percentage of the long-term rental supply, Airbnbs are larger. In the four towns we studied, the tourism towns we studied, Airbnbs were 119% of the total rental supply. So it's obviously having an effect, and somehow we need to wind it back. And what the cap and trade system does is it creates a value for a license to hold an Airbnb, and that licensing revenue should be going towards affordable housing.
It might become like the old taxi number plates, though. You're sort of creating this incredibly lucrative market just in the license itself.
Well, what will happen is that won't be tradable between middlemen. It'll only be limited to actual operators tied to the title. But as the number of Airbnbs comes down, the value of that license will increase up to a level that the the superior returns investors are getting in short-term rentals won't be there so much. And that can happen with just an $8,500 licensing fee a year that it would build up to after about 8 years.
What, you want people to pay an $8,000 licensing fee?
Yeah, well, they're earning exponential numbers here. I mean, the returns in Apollo Bay are 150% greater. In Hepburn are 150% greater than what you can earn in the rental market. In Apollo Bay, it's 91%. Mornington Peninsula, 65%.
No politician. 73%. Forgive the interruption, Carl, and I appreciate your work, but is any politician going to introduce like a $5,000 or $8,000 license simply to put your property on the market with Airbnb? Do you think a politician's going to bite at that?
Well, if it can provide a funding stream for affordable housing, we're seeing, you know, that the Housing Australia round of funding had 56,000 applications for only 30,000 homes. And we know the need for affordable housing is out there. And what this process does is it actually pushes some of that property back onto either the rental or home buying market, as well as creating a revenue stream to provide more affordable housing. So there's two solutions there.
Carl, always interesting to talk to you. I think last time we spoke about vacancy based on water usage. Thanks for your time.
Thank you.
Carl Fitzgerald's there. Carl Fitzgerald is Managing Director of something called the Grounded Community Land Trust Advocacy, some sort of license of cap and trade the number of short-term rentals or Airbnb-like properties in a given area. Denise reckons there is a Scotland-wide crackdown on short-term accommodation, with every council getting its own cap on the number of permits in their area. I haven't heard about that. Denise has sent me a link. I haven't had a chance to have a look at it. David's in Geelong as we hit, I'm going to call that 18 minutes after nine. David, what do you want to say?
Just get off the mobile.
Okay. What did you want to mention about Airbnb?
Yes, so I have a coastal property about 100 yards from the beach at a coastal town close to Melbourne. It hasn't got a view or anything else. My land tax bill has gone from $3,500 to $11,500 in one hit. And we've always had long-term tenants in the property, but we're going to be forced to go to short-term tenancy simply because we're not making any return on the property at all as a result of the hit with land tax.
So you heard.
So
Carl,
there's another side to it.
Oh, I appreciate that. You heard Carl's idea of, I don't know, maybe let's imagine Carl's idea comes into fruition. You had to pay $5,000 just to be able to use something like Airbnb. What would you think about that?
Well, I mean, obviously you'd have to do the sums if that arose, because then it wouldn't be practical to swap to Airbnb. I mean, we're committed to trying to provide some accommodation for long-term rentals, because I quite agree it's destroying some of the coastal towns where everything's short-term and there's no permanent population as a result. Mm. But by the same token, I think it seems as though these ideas of applying massive levies to people and distorting the market, it's just not plain not fair, I don't think.
You don't have to answer this question, David, but I'm going to probe a little bit. Is this your one big thing? Is this your super? Is this your retirement, that property?
No, it's not. We were fortunate to buy this property many, many years ago. Okay. And knock down an old house and put up a fairly modest four-bedroom house, but obviously it's an attractive location.
Mm. Look, David, thank you. The land tax bill has gone up. There's a drastic housing shortage. We somehow have to square that circle. On the text, what's the point of this argument? They're tourist towns. Look at people want to live in, not the ones they want to visit. That someone's saying we shouldn't be focusing on the tourist town short stay stuff. And Lynn's got this in Hawthorne East. The question isn't why shouldn't an owner make money? Why should they? Why should regular people use another individual as an income source just because they need somewhere to live? This is from Lynn. It's revolting that so many people think it's totally fine to make someone else responsible for the cost of their assets. It's foul. We've been speaking about making the switch to gas.